So anyway, I had mentioned to you before that there are other systems of attribution, but one of the things that will tell you whether a given system is a good one, a strong one, is that it is internally consistent, and it makes a lot of sense and draws a big picture as well as it draws a little picture. So this system of attributions allows you to comfortably and properly find the relationship between all of the court cards to each other from an astrological point of view. So that works very well, and of course it also works very nicely with the symbolism. So anyway, here we are with the king. And the king is Leo, fixed fire. He's air of fire. The kings are air, wands is fire, the shape is air, the force is fire. So he's a combination of spirit, which is fire, and mind. He's a combination of intuition and thought, of energy and boundaries and definitions, a spirited mind, intuitive thought, energetic... A spirited mind is what I'm thinking of. A mind that has a lot of power and fire in it. Thought that's filled with intuition. Boundaries, limits, definitions that are filled with energy. This is the King of Wands. King of Wands is very explosive. If you take air and fire and put them together, you get a whoosh! You get an explosive expansion. The King of Wands is very expansive.
So then, okay, would he relate at all to the Knight of Swords?
The Knight of Swords is the elemental opposite of the King of Wands. They have exactly the same elements in common. The difference is what is form and what is force. The outward shape is different in the two, because the outward shape here is air. And that gives it the visible qualities. It's easy to see. In this particular form, the authority and the age and the presence of this combination of fire and air, because it's a king. It takes the shape of a king. In the Knight of Swords, you have the same qualities, except that the authority is an inner authority. That's the Wands part. I mean the Swords part, right? The Swords is air, which is the king. And that Swords quality is very strong. There's a very strong inner authority in the Knight of Swords. But the shape, the way it shows, is with all of the energy of the Knight. The form of the Knight wraps around and contains the energy of air, which is the authority of the king. That's the difference between the two. Just the way in which it shows, the elements are the same. Yeah, well, I don't know if you guys can hear over the static.
No, barely.
Barely. Well, hold on a second and maybe it'll go away. I'm going to talk to guys afterwards and find out who's got the cell phone. And let me see. Martha, do you have a cell phone? Do you have a cell phone?
No.
Huh. Somebody's got a cell phone, because it's talking on something with a channel to it. Who is?
Linda.
What are you talking on?
It's a regular phone, but it's a portable phone.
Oh, if it's a portable phone, that'll do it. Do me a favor and switch channels.
Okay.
Because that's what's making this happen. If you can't do it, do me a favor and hang up and redial.
Okay.
Okay, do that, because that'll take it away.
Okay.
Good.
Maybe not.
There, see, it went.
Yeah, so she was on what?
She was on a portable phone.
Here, are you talking about me?
No, this was Linda that had a portable phone. And you also have one?
Yeah.
Well, if we get static, one of the...
Were you getting that?
The static was coming from Linda's portable phone, so she hung up, and we'll redial in, and the static will probably go away. There, she comes back. Okay, Linda, you there again? Linda?
Yes.
Oh, you're there again. Okay. So the static has gone away now. So, and you'll know in the future.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. When that happens, the whole, we can hardly hear anything. So.
Okay, so what do I do?
Just hang up and redial.
Okay.
You shouldn't cost you any more money for the call.
Right,
and it'll,
no problem.
Okay, so everybody knows that. Those of you who do work with portable phones or cordless phones or whatever, when static comes on the line, realize that it might be you. Just hang up and redial right away, and it should go away. So anyway, where were we here? Let me see. Kelly, I didn't even hardly talk to you at all tonight, did I?
I borrowed Peggy's coat.
Well, we have the magic to unlock it. I have the magician's wand that can point at you even though you're hidden. So anyway,
what do you want to ask?
What I want to find out from you is where in you is the King of Wands. Remember, the King has got a combination of two things. It's got a combination of the authority and age and wisdom of the rank of King, along with the expansive, energetic, phallic, restless, demanding energy of the Knight of Wands. Here's all this combination, this very elevated, intense, authoritative energy. Can you find, and it's very big energy, it's very expansive energy. It's the kind of energy that takes on big challenges, never shrinks from a major challenge. Do you find that in yourself anywhere, or is it hidden?
Purposely draw it to me from time to time. It comes up whether I want it to or not. I've noticed about every 3 years when I change everything in my life. I use it at work a lot, you know. It's good energy for when you have to manage people.
Well, that's true. It's very positive energy. It always believes in itself.
Yeah. Well, and my normal tendency is to not move at all. I'm sort of like the epitome of the Knight of Pentacles or something. I sit there and stare. And so if I can pull this one forward, it works well for me.
Good. By the way, remember that all kings are stationary.
Yeah, but he looks like he's ready to get up.
He does. He's ready to get up at a moment's notice. Of all the kings, he's the most restless, for sure.
Yeah.
He's seated, but on the edge.
Well, and he looks like he can tell somebody else to do it, you know?
Oh, absolutely. King of Wands is a great delegator. King of Wands oftentimes delegates and tells others what to do and doesn't necessarily do it himself. The King of Wands waves his stick and makes everything happen. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, and it all comes together. Sort of like the director on the set. The director does not act. But by the director's insistence, the entire film happens. And this is something of what the King of Wands does. King of Wands is at the helm. The King of Wands makes big things happen. King of Wands is unafraid of major activity. In fact, I would say of all the cards in the deck, the King of Wands is probably the most optimistic.
Now, a lot of the other kings are facing us, but he's to the side.
Right. What do you think about that? What's it make you think?
That some of it is partially hidden, that he's not as direct as he seems.
Okay.
Wild guess.
Well, now, if somebody were looking at you directly, what would that signify to you?
Facing me straight on.
When anybody's looking at you directly, what does that tell you?
But to me, that's more openness. They're focused on me.
Well, they're open to you. How open are they to anything else in the neighborhood if they're focused on you?
They're not. It's focused on the things around them, on their environment.
Okay, so what happens with focus, when you look straight forward, generally speaking, what happens is peripheral vision disappears. What you're looking at is a focused vision. The intent of showing a profile is that the king has a lighthouse,
mm-hmm.
where the light circles at the top of the tower. Only when the headlight is facing directly at you will you see the beam of light. Otherwise, it's almost invisible. And the King of Wands is perpetually searching the horizon for stuff. The King of Wands is not still enough. The King of Wands isn't actually focused on you or on anything in particular. He's constantly searching the horizon for new stuff. The King of Wands is restless, just like the Knight of Wands is, except that he's seated. Being a king, he has no choice. He can't really leave the throne, but he sure does look. And somebody pointed out one time when we were doing this class that they had heard that there was a traditional interpretation of the King of Wands as when the King of Wands comes up in a reading about that would indicate that your spouse is cheating on you. Right? So, and I said, well, where do you get that from? And they couldn't quite figure it out. And they said, well, of course, because what happens is that the King of Wands has the same intense restlessness that the Knight does. The King of Wands is a roving eye. And the King of Wands is very charismatic, very attractive. The King of Wands is already in command of a situation. He's charismatic and good-looking. He's got an enormous amount of sexual energy. And if you let somebody like that loose at a party, what do you think your chances are? The King of Wands is always a risk for any spouse. Not guaranteed, but it's really tricky with the King of Wands. The Knight of Wands, forget it. Don't go to a party with a Knight of Wands if you want to go home with the same person you started with. There's no guarantee of that at all. But the King of Wands is a tricky character. The King of Wands believes that the King of Wands will not apologize. And in fact, the King of Wands cannot understand why it would be that anybody wouldn't pay attention to him. The King of Wands is a natural center of attention, and he just cannot understand what you're worried about if people pay attention to him or if women flirt with him. Well, of course, my dear, what else? And of course, if the King of Wands wants to indulge himself, well, it's to be expected. What would you think?
Egocentric.
Yeah,
that's
well,
Leo.
Huh?
That's Leo, though.
That's right. Exactly, that's Leo. Leo is really not impressed with the rules over much. The main rule for a Leo is that he enjoy himself. The main rule for a Leo is that he be the center of attention. It's to be expected. And the King of Wands collects that attention like a funnel. Everything, all attention focuses on him. The King of Wands is completely generous and noble to a fault, but God help you if you're unfaithful to him. So it's that is one of those gender things that women oftentimes dislike. But the thing is, this isn't so much about women or men. This is about what that quality is like in you. So how many of you have the sense that you are entitled to look at what you want what you want, and even possibly get what you want? Anybody? Or are you all convinced that there are limits to what you can expect out of life and what you should attempt? Uh-huh. I
yes
see.
And no.
Yeah. Remember, Wands doesn't like rules.
Yeah, but he's almost arrogant about it.
Absolutely. King of Wands is totally arrogant. Conceited to boot.
And turning away just shows his indifference to other people, that he can be a cold.
There you go. Absolutely. The King of Wands is interested in himself. He's not interested in you. Why should he look at you?
Right. So he's emotionally sufficient.
He's emotionally self-sufficient, and yet he's extremely attractive. If you happen to fall into his orbit, you will become a satellite around him, not the other way around. You'll never expect the King of Wands to follow you around like a puppy.
But is he really emotionally self-sufficient if he seems to need everyone around him and to be the center of attention?
Yes, what he needs is to collect everybody's energy. Remember that he's an energy machine. He sucks in energy as he pushes it out. So all of the attention that he can get is grist to the mill, but he returns it in full measure because he's intensely charismatic.
But then you're saying it's not really emotion?
Well, remember that the emotions, the way we describe emotions, the way we usually think of emotions, is not usually attributed to the suit of wands. It's usually attributed to the suit of cups. Emotions flow. Wands explodes.
Okay.
So there are certain things that we sometimes think about as being emotions, like, for example, anger or impatience. Oh, another thing I forgot to mention, which is really important here, it's true of the King, it's also true of the Knight. When you take something that's explosive, would you not occasionally imagine that there would be anger?
Uh-huh.
Anger is one of the things that Wands is very much associated with. And when you take anger, and it's explosive, and you combine it with the idea that this is thoughtless anger, there's no restraint, especially in the Knight, but in the King too. The King is connected with swords, so there is some restraint there. There's less likelihood of uncontained anger. But if there were anger, and it would come up very suddenly, it would come up explosively, and in this idea of explosive, uncontrolled force, that comes out as anger, you have the possibilities of physical abuse. So that it has been demonstrated by statistical studies and various other things done in the psychological community among those who use tarot, that both the Knight of Wands and the King of Wands are associated with abuse, sometimes physical, sometimes sexual. It's not always true, but it can happen. And it would be more of a tendency for these characters than of any other. Now, the Queen of Wands likewise would have that quality or that ability. So sexual and physical abuse are both considerable possibilities all the way through the Court of Wands.
Well, it's emotional.
It is. It seems like an emotion. It has, and people certainly regard uncontrolled anger, resentment, whatever, defensiveness, all the different things that come out as rage, they do regard that as one emotion, usually thought of as a negative one. But the fact of the matter is, it isn't an emotion. It's simply an expression of energy.
But it could be used in an abusive, like an abusive, angry outburst that wasn't physical, right?
Yes, absolutely. It can be simply rage. It could be verbal, because what is being expressed is an uncontrolled burst or flare of energy. In this case, an energy that comes out as a negative. Because every human being is so complicated. And because all the cards in tarot are present in you all the time, when a particular card, like the Knight of Wands or the King of Wands, shows up in a flare of its particular version of things, if the explosive energy of the Knight or the King shows up at the forefront, it will also be mixed with a whole bunch of other things. And so it may not be so easy to diagnose, and it may not be so easy to separate out the parts of it. But the explosiveness, the explosive quality itself, is not an emotion per se. It's just a blast. It's like being near a furnace. If you were stoking a furnace, if you were a person whose job it was to be a fireman at a furnace, like on a locomotive in the old days, or at any furnace, that uses coal, for example. It happens often that boilers blow up, or that furnace doors pop open and blasts of fire come out. People in that profession get hurt a lot. Well, the boiler, when it blows up, is not emotional. Nothing personal, you know. But that's what fires do, occasionally, when they're not controlled. So the King and the Knight both have that in considerable measure. So, can you find, Linda, if you looked at this King of Wands, can you find in yourself the combination of expansiveness, optimism, charisma, and explosive energy that the King has?
I used to have that somewhat.
Can you? You can see it somewhat?
A long time ago.
What happened to it? It's still there, you know. They never go away, these guys. They're always in there somewhere.
Really?
Yes. Inside of you, you by yourself are an entire universe. Every one of you is a deck of cards. This is a very interesting perspective, but it's something that if you think about it, you will find it very useful. Each of you is an entire deck of cards. And you know how when you play with a deck of cards, depending on what you decide to do with it, whether you want to play a game or do a spread or do a contemplation or whatever, there are certain rules and methods for shuffling the deck and picking out a few cards for a particular purpose. As you get older, you choose different uses for the deck. You pick cards differently, you lay them out differently, you expect different things from them, you read differently in them, and so you may not ever come across the King of Wands anymore. The King of Wands may be buried in the pack and never show up. And if he did show up, you'd use him in such a way as to put him down again. Because you do have choices in the way you focus. But be aware that this King of Wands is in there somewhere. Maybe a long time ago he had more of a place than now, but even now, in a subterranean way, buried down out of sight, he still works and does his stuff. So when I ask you if you recognize or can find that person in you, and you say no, or only a long time ago, or only a little bit, be just aware that the King or any other card is just below the surface somewhere. And is still working. And if you wished, you could let that character out you could open the trap door and invite him into the light again, if you wished.
In a positive way, what is he like? Because, I mean, I guess I now consider him very egocentric, very arrogant, very, could be abusive, etc.
Well, you know that everything has two sides. When the King of Wands is in fine fettle, when he's in his positive mode, when he's doing things the way you'd like to see, you will be, just charmed and swept off your feet by a courtesy and an intense kindness and an optimism and a brilliant smile and a sweeping energy that makes you feel good. When you're in the presence of the King of Wands, he just will make you feel like a million bucks. He'll make you feel the whole world is possible. Nothing's outside your grasp, and he's right. As the King of Wands, nothing is beyond him. Anything that you can imagine that can be done by action, he can do. So when you're in his presence, you immediately feel uplifted. Whatever was dull or painful or scared or negative disappears in the light of his smile. To be with him is to feel good. To be him is to make others feel good. And most of the time, when the King of Wands is effective, it means great things happen in his presence. Big, amazing, wonderful, magnificent projects come into play and actually see the light of day. Most of us, most of the time, because the King of Wands is not present, do not attempt big things. We shy away from them, we back off from them, we undertake them with reluctance and with a little bit of fear, the result of which is that most of us do not do great things. The King of Wands, if he's released, allows you to do great things. And I don't know how many of you wish to be great, or how many of you wish to release your greatness from the trapdoor, you know, kind of thing that contains it. But if you ever want that to happen, if you want to be truly great, let this guy out. Let him shine. And whatever anybody thinks of you, it doesn't matter, because you will know that you're worth the risk, you're worth the doing, you're worth the faith, you're worth the energy, you're worth the resources that people pour into you, because you're magnificent. And if anybody has a chance of doing it, you will have. And you're the only one who has both the energy and the fearlessness to tackle these huge things. If this energy and this fearlessness is buried or squelched, the chances are that you will take on smaller things with less risk and with less consequence, and you will not shine, and you will simply be maybe interesting, you may be effective, but you won't have the brilliance. Does that give you a sense of possibility for the King? Something that might be positive about him?
Yes. Thank you.
Cool. He's a jewel in the crown. He's the flame. Good.
He's a tough act to follow.
He is a tough act to follow, and now we're going to do it with a page. Who has not done it? Marcy Turner. Oh, you did the last one, didn't you? Okay, let me see. And Sherazade, you're not here yet, right? You never came in. Okay. So, and Sabrina, you're not here yet either? Okay, she didn't make it tonight. Okay, so let me see. Peggy, turn over the page.
Okay.
Who's the page in you?
Who is the page? Well, he is an idealist, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very much me.
Mm-hmm.
Tends to be a dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Now, he's mutable fire? No, that's Sagittarius would be the knight.
Right. Now, the pages are interesting because all the pages deal with whole, quarters of the year. They're not just one sign. They're three signs.
Oh, so he's spring.
So Page of Wands is fire, and fire is summer. So at least in this system, I know that there are other systems which make wands into spring, but in this system, he is summer.
Okay.
He connects Cancer, Leo, and Virgo.
The
three signs of Cancer, Leo, and Virgo make up the quarter of the year that he represents, the summer, from the end of June to the end of September.
So then he's growth fulfilled.
That's right. Now, the interesting thing about the pages, of course, is that they're young.
Mm-hmm.
This is young fire as compared to old fire. Where's the young fire in you?
This is like baby fire.
Baby fire, absolutely. So, Fire, does the baby fire ever show?
On occasions.
How?
As I said, I'm very much the idealist.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to see things sometimes in an idealistic fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the, perhaps it's the dreamer in me.
Mm-hmm. That's really useful. Take a look, if you look at the page itself and you see him, you know, gazing sort of upwards at his wand, there is a quality of contemplation of wonders. That's one of the things that he is certainly known for. Is this quality one that you are aware of in yourself as a regular thing, or just at flashes, or what?
No, it's pretty regular. It's a pretty strong part of my personality.
If you were to organize the four court cards of wands in order of preference, where would the page be?
Second.
That's very interesting. Because when you organize something in order of preference, when you have a group of four and you organize things in order of preference, whatever is second is what you believe to be true. It's the shape of the world. It's what you believe is so. And you believe, you have faith in the playfulness of fire. You have faith in playful and undirected energy. The interesting thing about the page has none of the authority of the king. The page is curious, the page is playful, the page is energetic and nimble, the page looks good, the page is charming. The page is, this particular page, is everybody's fair-haired child.
He's creative, too.
Absolutely talented. He's a prodigy. And he's also somebody's protege. Somebody loves to take the page of wands under his wing and make him great. Everybody has great predictions for the page of wands. Page of Wands has fabulous social graces, really makes everybody love them. The Page of Wands is delightful. Very precocious. Precocious talent, precocious social talents, as well as other kinds. He also takes chances that the older folks won't deal with. You know, have you ever seen a young kid, you know, like do something that scares the hell out of older people who are looking? Hang off the top branch of a tree, or do some other silly thing like that. Take some kind of adventurous chance. The Page of Wands is like that. He is totally fearless. And he does things that make everybody nervous. But they love it when they see. The older folks love the Page of Wands when they see him. And are you like that? Do you find that people react to you as charming and delightful and they enjoy your company?
Especially in relationship to my job when I'm on the help desk.
Uh-huh.
And I find that for me it's important to... I tend to see the best in people.
Uh-huh.
And often I find that I get along with them very well, that the person lives up to those expectations.
Uh-huh.
Where if it's the converse, and you so many people see the worst and get it.
Right, well,
so you
know,
do create your own world in that way.
That is why people love the Page of Wands, because the Page of Wands brings out the best in them. In the presence of the Page of Wands, remember, all of the court cards of wands are charismatic in one way or another. The Page of Wands makes everybody pleased with themselves because he sees them as pleasant. He sees them he sees them at their best, and he makes the best come out in them. And who doesn't feel good when the best comes out in them and it's admired by somebody else? I mean, if somebody's talking to you on the phone and you make them feel that way, are they not going to respond to you with delight?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the Page of Wands in you. And there's a lot. Well, before we go too much further, I want to get some. Now, let me see. Martha, I haven't asked you in a while. Can you find the Page of Wands in yourself, the things that we were talking about, or possibly darker forms of the Page of Wands?
Darker forms?
Everything has a dark side, you know.
I guess I was not delighted with this positive side.
Can't hear you.
I guess I was delighted with the positive side.
Right, here, because you remember before when
He's
we were talking.
Dresser too.
Huh?
He's a dresser, too.
Oh, boy, is he ever. He's vain.
Yeah.
He's also conceited. He thinks that everybody who thinks well of him, they're only doing the right thing. I mean, the Page of Wands thinks well of himself, and anybody who doesn't agree with that is an idiot. So, I mean, you know...
Actually, I don't think the Page of Wands really cares what other people think.
Well, he does, actually, in a way. I mean, in one way, yes, in one way, no. His good opinion of himself does not depend on anybody else. His good opinion of himself depends only on his mirror. He looks in the mirror, and he's very, very pleased. And if he ever feels... if anybody ever has a bad opinion of him for some reason, or calls him a little twerp or something, all he has to do to feel better is go look in the mirror, and he'll know that guy was an idiot.
Huh?
He's
a popinjay, then.
Yes, a popinjay, exactly. He dances well. Actually, by the way, it's not a he, it's a she. Remember, although this particular page is certainly made to look like a boy, and the pages in general are given, in this deck in particular, the function of children at large. I mean, they're not given gender per se. Most of the time, they're just simply regarded as children. The pages are in lieu of the princesses, and they represent the daughter in the family. Just as the knight represents the son, the page represents, I mean, not the knight, but the king represents the son, the page represents the daughter. So this is really a feminine form, even though here they made him look like a boy. So realize that when you were a little girl, the chances are the Page of Wands had the most chance to shine. Can you remember any of that? Linda, can you remember being a little girl and shining like that?
Yeah, when I was little, yeah.
Yeah. Marcy, how about you? Can you do that now? If you wanted to, can you shine like a brilliant, beautiful little girl, little talented, merry, laughing, you know, beautiful creature?
I was brought up in the entertainment arena, so that's from the time I was 4 years old, I was dancing on the Merry Mailman.
Oh, cool. Well, then you know how you... It's just like... Exactly, you know? If you were to take a look at one of those old... oh, God, what was the name of the little girl? Huh?
Not Howdy Doody.
Not Howdy... What was the name of the little girl actress that became... Shirley Temple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you take a little Shirley Temple dancing on the stage and just lighting it up with her smile and her brilliance and her talent and her belief in herself and all that. They have a Page of Wands to perfection.
Also, I saw something recently about her, and I forget which, but some adult actress who worked with her said it was scary how smart she was.
Uh-huh.
They said she knew about everything
mm-hmm.
when she was a tiny child.
Precocious.
Precocious, yeah.
Absolutely. The Page of Wands is completely precocious. The Page of Wands is a prodigy. The Page of Wands competes very comfortably with his elders, or her elders. That's why Pages of Wands make great child actors or actresses. And
but also, I believe now the Page of Wands is, for me, it's kind of the students that we all are taking this class, that with your help, that you're bringing us to the next level, because he or she, we're getting inspired.
Mm-hmm.
We're receiving this inspiration, this knowledge, this magical energy from above. Right now you're our channel, and that you're going to help us evolve to the next stage.
Well, that's very sweet of you to say so. And you know, it was funny, the other night we were doing an array, which is arranging the court cards of wands in order of preference, which is what I was talking about. And for me, the Page of Wands was first. Out of the four pages, I like the page. Out of the four court cards of wands, I like the page the best.
Well, that's where you're getting all your inspiration.
That's right, and so I'm not about to conquer the world like the king, and I'm not about to conquer all the ladies by like the knight, and I'm not about to organize the next great event, but I sure do like to play, and I don't spend all that much time on any one thing, and that's one of the reasons why I like doing these classes is because each one is different, each one gives me a chance to look at something different and talk about something different. And play a different tune, and hopefully make everybody happy in the process. So that is a good chunk of what the Page of Wands does, and that happens to be nice and strong and visible in me, at least some of the time, and it accounts for a certain kind of high energy when I'm doing this, although it's not always that. And that's what I was looking for, to see if you guys recognize it in yourself. Let me see, Anne-Marie? I know that sometimes life seems a bit melancholy to you, or at least that's the sense that I get. Am I wrong in that?
Aspects of life seem melancholy to me, not the whole thing.
Well, that's good. The page is just, yeah, I certainly hope not. But the page, because you know, of all the cards in the deck, the one least likely to commit suicide is the page. Never consider it. Would never enter the page's mind that such a thing was a possibility. Would look with total incomprehension at either the depression or the fear or the pain that would cause a person to regard life as unbearable. But the page of wands, a life is a total delight, even with an occasional setback. The page of wands is complete faith in the magnificence of life. And can you find that particular faith, that just complete belief in the goodness of things in you?
In me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. That's why I said the melancholy is not the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That delight and that belief is the much bigger thing. The melancholy and the difficult aspects, no matter how big they are,
mm-hmm.
they're... I don't know exactly how to explain it. There's something that has to be worked out, worked through, whatever, but they're not it.
Yeah.
What's it, the real, to me anyway, the real thing is the delight and the glory and the joy.
Mm-hmm. Now the question is, how much of that is theoretical and how much of that comes out in real life?
How much of that is, well...
I see it in
her.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little hard to describe it right now because right now I'm physically in pain.
That's hard to be happy in that moment, yes.
Well, the thing is, my voice might sound strained because I'm physically in pain.
Uh-huh.
And also because we're touching on very deep things.
Mm-hmm.
But my real feeling, not just theoretically.
Yeah.
My real feeling is much, much bigger than that pain, and my real feeling is the joy that's bigger than anything.
Well, I am very happy for you that that is true. And that being the case, the page of wands in particular should be, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the right, a totem.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've thought of a lot of different things while you were talking about it, one of which was someone once said of me,
uh-huh.
You have an infinite capacity to amuse yourself.
Ah, oh, absolutely. Good.
And he said it kind of like with bemused wonder. and it's really true. Even though I have a pretty big capacity to do the opposite, too.
Well, that might also amuse you in a different sort of way.
In a way, but it doesn't usually amuse me that much. But my capacity to amuse myself is definitely infinite, and there's a limit to the opposite.
Yeah, well, that's really good to hear. And that is certainly a true quality of the Page of Wands. Debbie, when you were about to come to Anne-Marie's defense there for a second...
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that you know the Page of Wands pretty well in some way. Tell me, where is she and you?
I see it as a lightheartedness. There's an innocence about it, a child, kind of a childlike nature about it, the excitement of life, the
mm-hmm.
newness of it, and curiosity, and I see.
Let me give you a title, the esoteric title of the Page of Wands, and see if it doesn't resonate with all of you. The title of the Page of Wands is the Princess of the Shining Flame and Empress of the Salamanders.
Oh, I'm sorry. The
Princess of the Shining Flame and Empress of the Salamanders. And her astrological attribution, of course, is summer. The season of summer. Hot, bright, rich, full of life. The Page of Wands is a combination of the page, which is connected with the earth, and fire, the element of fire and wands. The Page of Wands is earth of fire. A combination of the spirit, the intuition, and the energy of fire, with the body, the sensations and the appetites of earth.
Earth and fire.
Earth and fire.
It seems to me that Empress is a higher rank than Queen in most.
Actually, therein lies an esoteric story, and we don't have time for it. Sorry, there is a purpose and a specificity to these titles that sometimes goes unnoticed because they're sort of grandiose and pompous in a way. They sound that way, although they're beautiful. But the words are chosen very carefully, and they're meant to reflect esoteric aspects. And this is not the time for those. I'm glad you pointed it out. Be aware that Empress is used on purpose, and that there is a difference between Empress and Queen, and that they reflect on things that we haven't had a chance to talk about.
And why are they all there in the
Can't hear
pyramid?
You.
Why are they all there with the pyramids?
The pyramids represent the element of fire.
Yeah, they're the triangle.
Yeah, well, not only are they the upward... You know that pyramids are created as upward-pointing triangles precisely because upward-pointing triangles are the form of fire. Also, the word pyramid is a Greek word, and it means, the word pyramid actually means vessel of fire.
Means vessel of fire?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That's where you get like pyro and pyromaniac.
The word P-Y, the prefix P-Y-R is the Greek for fire. Pyramid is a vessel of fire.
What sign is the page?
The page is not a sign. If it was, it would be a connection of three signs, Cancer, Leo, and Virgo.
Yes, you mentioned
the three signs of summer, right.
Can I backtrack just for very
uh-huh.
briefly to what was the astrological for the king?
The king is Leo, right? Fixed fire.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Ego.
So when you look at this court, and you look at four little cards, there's only four cards here, and it's got all this in it. How can it be? And I tell you, guys, we have barely scratched the surface. I mean, I always say this, but it's true. The stuff that we can do in an hour or two is always small. All it can do is open up the easiest of the doorways to open. And
well,
we can, yeah.
What are the future possibilities to get the rest of the story?
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, it's fun to say that. The reason why I can do these classes now is because they're easy. I don't have to work too hard. I can put together the notes for a class fairly simply, and a little bit of thought and a little bit of you know, experience allows me to do this. To do more elaborate work requires more effort. Sometimes I have to figure out a systematic presentation. Like, for example, if I were going to figure out, I presented the court cards in the context of its astrological and visual and familial and social considerations. Those are things we can all relate to. They're things we're familiar with. They're part of a life that is every day. And the esoteric stuff requires background. It's not self-evident. Some of you have taken the Kabbalah thing that we did a little while ago. That's a beginning. That's a help. With a Kabbalistic background, at least a little bit of this material becomes taught. You could discuss it. I can refer to the pillars and the triads and the various things, and you'll have a sense of what I'm talking about. And force and form will not be foreign to you. Now we can discuss a few things. Alchemy we've never even talked about, and alchemy and Kabbalah between them are the engine and the blueprint of the esoteric, you know, world. And if you don't have a fairly comfortable association and have done a little bit of work with those things, then what's beyond those doors, you can't. There's no point in talking because you wouldn't know what I was talking about. It wouldn't have any reference points for you. You wouldn't be nailed down. And how to present that, it's like a very big job. And I've not tried to do it because it's the harder thing to do. I'm doing the easy thing first. So, you know, and I don't know. What I'm discovering with really great interest is, and I didn't know this when we first started doing the teleclasses, is that a lot of what I thought would have to be done in person can actually be done on the phone. I didn't even know if a Kabbalah course that I do as an intensive here in New York could be done this way, but it turned out that it could be done very well.
Mm-hmm.
And the next telecourse that we're going to do is Past Lives, which I also originally thought couldn't be done on the phone, but I'm quite sure now that it can. I'm going to try it. So maybe I can figure out how to present this stuff. Yeah.
Oh, you can.
I'm glad you have faith. But anyway, and I'm going to try to do it because it's so much fun. And one time we did a little piece of something. We did. How many of you guys did the Arrow of Sagittarius with us? Did any of you that are on this call now do that?
Mm-mm.
I know that Scheherazade did, but I don't know if any of you others did. Okay, and she's not here tonight. But anyway, we did some pathworking, some Kabbalistic pathworking without having to introduce you to Kabbalah. We didn't really do any Kabbalah at that point, but I was able to do the pathworking from a certain perspective. And it was very strong. And what it did was it presented the devil, the death, the devil, temperance, and the tower in terms of their sheer magnificence and the way in which those paths in particular on the tree point directly at, lead directly to, and open up onto spiritual enlightenment, and how they're not what people usually make out of them, a kind of Hollywood melodrama. You know, of bad and negative things. So anyway, we did that, and it worked really well. And I had some idea maybe of doing some path working along those same lines in other places, and maybe doing the entire tree. If we were, that may be a way to do it. If we can do that, then I could open up some things for you that we can only mention now.
Actually, I think my only complaint with the Kabbalah portion was that it was too short.
Well, I'm glad that you thought so, because, of course, once again, like with this, it's only a beginning.
I would have loved to have twice the lessons, at least.
Well, guys, that's something that's actually a little bit easier to do, believe it or not, because Kabbalah is so systematic, at least the theoretical Kabbalah, is so systematic. It's been so documented. There's so much written about it, and it's so accessible now. There's so many wonderful translations of material that only a few years ago was just buried in Arcana, that it is now possible to go beyond what we did this last time. The only thing is that I was reluctant to, you know, to make any longer than it was. What I did was to give you the bare minimum necessary to understand the bare minimum jargon that's connected with the tree. The tree itself is only a small portion. It's the smallest portion of Kabbalah. Kabbalah deals actually much more with the alphabet, with words and numbers, and their combinations and permutations than it does with the tree. All that's a whole other story. But it can be done. And given that, with some work with alchemy, which is a little harder, because alchemy is on purpose not systematic. They disguise everything. Nothing is clear. It's all mud, and if you like going mud fishing, it's wonderful. But we'll need to do a little bit of that too. And if you guys can sit through that, then we get somewhere. So you realize what happens with this stuff is that as you get further into it, it becomes, these things are meant to be paths to be traveled, not things to be talked about. So what happens is that it opens up. You go to it because you're drawn to it. Having been drawn to it, if you open the door, you're asked to walk through it. And then once you walk through it, your life changes in rather peculiar ways. And not a bad way at all, but you do change. And because most of us we live with and around people who don't know these things, it has... One of the dangers of it is that it has a tendency to isolate you from the people around you because they don't know what you know about. And there's no way you can tell them. The vocabulary is completely sealed off from them. Even if you tried, you couldn't make it clear. They think you were crazy, or they think you were dumb, or they think you were something. So it's an interesting process. It will make a difference. If you want to do it, we'll talk about it over time. And I can only do this a little bit at a time. I don't know how to do the things I'm doing now and add this on top of it.
I was just going to say there's always the converse. If you studied it and felt very isolated because there's no one to talk to about it,
well,
then to go to a course that's very fulfilling.
That's true. And what we've actually begun to put together here is actually a small but viable community. And we all have, by this time, so many of you have done so much of this work with us already that we could conceivably get together to do more. And we already know each other. We don't have to explain ourselves to each other. We all have a fair amount of vocabulary in common. So as a group, we could possibly go further, although it has been my experience that relatively small groups only get smaller. If you close off a group, then it tends to get smaller automatically because people go away, they have lives to lead, and life has a tendency to do that. You know, you can't stay with something all that long. So it has to continue to be an open group, and hopefully we'll bring more and more people into it over time, and I will definitely try to give you material that you can sink your teeth into.
Meanwhile, next week we're going to be going back to Major Arcana.
Oh, right.
Starting with the Hangman, I believe, right?
That's right. We're going through the from the Hangman to the Tower.
So if you haven't registered for that, which most people haven't, it's starting next week. We're not going to have the week break because
we were late. Yeah, we had to push
this back.
Yeah,
we took the extra week earlier.
So if you guys want to join us for that. Yeah, I'm sorry, I interrupted again.
Yeah, if I could ask a quick question.
Uh-huh.
Well, you just mentioned that there is going to be a workshop on past lives.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering as to how you're advertising, because it's Martha speaking, by the way.
Uh-huh.
I haven't had the opportunity of going back into the website, and I guess I was just assuming, maybe it's my assumption, that through that email, the tarot tips,
uh-huh,
you know, that I was going to get information on.
Yeah, the reason that it hasn't been advertised yet is because we haven't fixed a date for it yet.
So I can make that assumption that I don't necessarily need to go into your website?
No,
every
time, whenever there is a new program that we're going to do, every time we do a new set of teleclasses, Ruth Ann will publicize them with enough time for you to know about it.
The teleclass schedule is always at the end of the newsletter, every week. I mean, sometimes I'll mention it in the beginning, other times I won't, but it's always at the bottom, whatever's current.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, sure, you're welcome.
Right. Yeah, we will, if you can't do it Sunday nights?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
That's a really bad night for me as well.
Okay, well, in that case, the last time when we did Kabbalah, we did it on Thursday nights.
That was so cool.
Okay, so as far as I'm concerned, that's great. Thursday nights is good.
What was being discussed for Sunday nights?
Well, what we used to do all the time, we used to do our telecourses and, in fact, teleclasses, we used to do on Sunday evenings. And then... We started doing the card study classes, and it seemed like a good idea to split them up, to do card study classes in the middle of the week and special classes, courses and stuff, on the weekend. Then we had, when it came to the Kabbalah thing, because of the dates of it, it went through a period of time when there were a lot of holidays that fell on Sundays, Mother's Day and Father's Day and God knows what, and Labor Day, not Labor Day, Memorial Day. So all of those intervened, and we wanted to do it, so we just switched to Thursdays, where holidays didn't have any impact. And so we did a nice, successful thing on Thursdays, and so now we're doing it on Thursdays. It doesn't really make any difference to me. I can do either one, so Thursdays is fine.
I'm outvoted, but I like Sundays better.
Uh-huh. Can you do a Thursday if you had to?
Oh, I can. I have been, but it's in my present work and transportation situation, it's like exhausting to barely manage to get home on time.
Right, right.
But I have been managing, so I can continue to.
All right. Well, thank you for being heroic. I mean it. And one of these days, you know, if we ever have enough interest, and that's another thing. I mean, we have, you know, a pretty extensive group of people that we send tarot tips to, and a lot of students and different things. And yet, as you can see, you know, classes are limited to 10, 12, sometimes 15 people out of thousands that we know and talk to. And I'm not sure why, but, you know.
Maybe you can use some endorsements from us.
Oh, God, if you would do that,
wonderful.
That would be wonderful. I mean, one of the...
It's changed my life. I mean, I just go on and on, so I'm not going to babble tonight, but you understand the concept.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
One of the things that I can tell you, well, hold on a second. In fact, I think what I'm going to do is finish class as far as tape is concerned by saying goodnight to you on tape, but don't go away. Okay.